Good morning. How's everybody? Are you sure? I'm looking at you. I tell you what, lots going on. I'm excited about it. Just to give you a brief update, we had our refresh, and so that is just a chance for us as leaders to look at our church and where we want to go. This last week, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, I had meetings with different people that all have to do with the direction of our church. And though we can't keep up that schedule, it's important that we get things going in the right direction. And what's been happening that I just want to share with you is this. I have had four different people come up to me about areas that they are passionate about. And that's an answer to prayer. Because if you're going to go forward, it's not about one or two or three people doing one thing. It's number one, having a passion, but these people saying, hey, and I want to be a part of this, and I'm excited about it. So that to me is God is behind the scenes doing some fantastic things. And as they come to fruition, we will make you guys aware of them. And right here I have, if you look at this, they're going to be in the back here before you leave. This is like done extremely well. This is the idea I talked to you last week that I said I would describe this week. This is called Soul Fuel. So we're taking a break from our normal small group look, which I think we ended up with four small groups last year. And we each did different things with the groups of people, you, that you all signed up with what you wanted. We're taking a break from that, and that's going to refire most likely in the spring. What it looks like, we're not sure yet, but we think this is going to have a lot to do with. This is called Soul Fuel. Let me just read this to you. Soul Fuel is an opportunity for adults within our church body from all age groups and walks of life to get to know one another better and build relationships by connecting over dinner. Who likes dinner? Anyone enjoy food? There you go, connecting over dinner. So if you don't care for people and you like food, hey, give it a shot. There's at least one good thing there you're going to enjoy. Once you sign up, you will be matched with a host couple to make the group of seven or eight other adults. Your host couple will then contact you about what you can bring to contribute towards the meal. And our first time is going to be November the 12th on a Saturday. And our next time is going to be in February, so we're going to do this every 3 months. It's just a time to connect. So if you're a little bit nervous, like, wait a second, you're saying, I signed up for this thing, and I don't know whose group I'm going to be in. Yes! Isn't that exciting? I once met a kid in junior high school, and I couldn't stand him. We were playing sandlot football. He was kind of mouthy. He was a little bit faster than me. I didn't like that, and I just couldn't stand him. And we go to school that following summer, and next thing you know is we had locker assignments, and they assigned us a locker mate. Guess who I got? That kid. And guess who was one of my best friends all through junior high and high school? That kid. So sometimes, don't let this make you nervous. Let God put you in a situation where you can just grow and be offered something from people and offer something to people. See, what we want to happen here is we want this family to be even tighter knit, to understand each other even better. Not that everyone's going to be best friends. We don't think that. But when that happens, I think it's going to open up a freedom for us to invite even more people. So one idea I love is let's have small groups that open up to us inviting other people from outside of this church and letting them see what a church family looks and feels like. So this Soul Fuel is very exciting to me. Please sign up. You can go on the back. You can pick these up. You can sign up on our app through an email. All the information's right here. If you're like completely old school, find my wife or Miss Lorna Giafredi here and say, hey, I want to sign up, but I don't know anything about the other stuff. They will take care of you. And just a special thank you. Lorna's been working with my wife in this with her heart and passions. And there again, when you see someone with a passion and it goes in the right direction, it's a beautiful thing. So that's Soul Fuel. Also, my little commercial to you, if God is pushing you in an area, I want to know about it. I want to know about it. Just don't come to me if you're unwilling to work in it. Okay? A lot of people, you should do this. No. But you come to me with something you're passionate about, man, we'll sit down as a team and we'll help direct that because God puts things in you and I think we as leadership can help pull them out. Amen? Well, Tom's with me. I got one amen out of that deal. But all right. Guess what we're going to talk about today? Our new series is Reboot, Leading Healthy Lives. And so the refresh was like the church taking a new look, basically. Hey, what are we doing? Who are we doing it for? Who are we affecting? How can we do things better? So reboot is, let's take a look at our lives. You take a look at your life. How can we better serve God through all the different areas that we're going to talk about? Last week, Chad talked about spiritual health. This week, I'm talking about physical health. We're going to talk about mental health, emotional health, sexual health. We're going to even the uncomfortable things. When I said sexual health, some, you know, look at me like, oh, you can't talk about that in church. You know, the most prevalent thing out there in this world today that's most talked about is our sexuality. Why is it so ugly within a church when God's created? See, Satan can make things ugly, but God makes them beautiful. So we want to openly talk about all these different areas of health to allow us to see, what does the Bible say about how can we be living our lives in a way that pleases God? But when we please God, I'm telling you what, we are giving a direction to man. We are almost like this lighthouse that says, hey, this is what Jesus looks like. This is what your life can be like if you come under the authority of your very own Creator. So this excites me. The thing about this is we're talking about physical health, but guess what I'm not talking about? We're not going to talk about calorie intake. We might mention, but won't go into depth detail about dieting. I'm not going to put everyone on a workout regimen, how many days a week, how much protein you should have. So when you think physical, you're thinking the body, because we are a body. But I want us to take a very, to me, God just opened my eyes up on some things, just a very in-depth look at our bodies, what we've been given to take care of, and what God wants us really, how He wants us to be seen. And so I'm excited about this. We're going to start off, I just want to read this to you. Genesis 1:27. I'll have some scriptures up, some I'm just going to read to you. If you have your Bibles or phones and you want to read along, jump right in. Genesis 1:27 says this. So God created man, or excuse me, God created human beings in His own image. In the image of God, He created them. Male and female, He created them. Who could say with a raised hand, I can define God's image? I read some studies on it. I've talked about God's image a lot, and it's funny when you read studies on it, the answer is never a sentence long. You know how long it is? The last study that I got quite a bit out of was about 27 paragraphs in God's image, because it's so vast. Sometimes it's difficult to comprehend, to understand. And I read this. This was came from Pete Emms. Listen to this. God's image was marred. So Adam and Eve was created in God's image. But it was marred because of what? Sin. So it was through the life of Jesus Christ that His image was restored, or that the image that we were restored through Christ. So listen to this. Image is basically bearing God's likeness. We bear the renewed image of God daily as we conform to Jesus. So if sin was the thing that separated us from His image, and now because of Jesus we can have freedom from sin, an easier way to break down image is likeness. We can bear God's likeness when we walk in His Word and when we follow the life of Jesus Christ. So think about that. Bearing the likeness of God. What does God stand for? Is there any sin in God? Okay, any negativity? Any faults? Shortcomings? Okay, we can actually bear that. So help me out. What does God stand for? Perfection? Love? Holiness? Grace, forgiveness, compassion, loving beyond measure. I mean, God, He is this amazing, all-knowing, all-loving God. We can bear that likeness. Our lives can stand for grace, compassion, hope, joy, forgiveness. Our lives can show that. That is the image that God wants to portray through us. So understanding that we are created in His image, and that image has been renewed through the grace of Jesus Christ, that's what these lives have the opportunity to share. Now you're probably thinking, what does that have to do with physical health? Stay with me. Here we go. Are you ready? Let's have some fun together. Right here. You made all of the delicate inner parts of my body and knit me together in my mother's womb. Now, this is David speaking, but basically this is God being explained to us as how we were made. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvelous, how well I know it. You watched me as I was being formed in utter seclusion, as I was woven together in the dark of the womb. Now picture you. We just got done talking about you. I want you to understand how God feels about you. You were created by God, knit together. Anyone ever knit anything? I've watched it. It takes a very long time. There's a lot of detail that goes into it. And if you've done it well, by the time you're done, I mean, man, this wasn't something you just, you know, took a picture of. This is something that you created. God knit us together. He has such a love, such a compassion, listen to me, such an investment in you. Why? Why are we so detailed? Think about, I've talked about our systems. Why is there so much detail? Why are doctors to this day, after thousands of years, still practicing medicine, still figuring out how the body works and what can be taken from it and given to it? Because it is that detailed. And you have been given one. We have all received a body from God. What a privilege. So that being said, let's go on. Don't you realize that your body, so physical health, what are we talking about here? We're talking about the body. It's amazing. Chad said, well, as he spoke about spiritual health before, everything else will branch off of this. So as I was studying physical health, it's crazy how spiritual all the talk was. Why? Because they have so much to do with each other. Don't you realize that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? This physical body that we've been given by God, that has been knit together, that has been invested in by God, is the temple. You are all walking around with temples of the Holy Spirit. And was given to you by God. You do not belong to yourself, for God bought you with a high price. What was that price? It was the price of the Son, Jesus Christ. That's a high price. So you must honor God with your body. One thing that we hear a lot, especially, I just don't want to pinpoint this one thing, but as the Roe versus Wade was revisited, states earned their own right to say whether abortion happens or doesn't happen. One thing you would hear a lot in defense of abortion was, this is my body, it's my right to do what I want. And I understand that concept for people who don't have faith, because they just see them as them and they make the decisions that affect their lives. But if you're born again and you put your faith in this word, we have to understand that we are not our own. That we were created and knit together by the one and only God. And so that purpose wasn't to make us make our own decisions. There's nothing that God would do in us that would make us go off and sin. So the purpose was, we can take these bodies and show people the image of God through our actions. And so it's important that we understand that we are not our own, but we are temples carrying the Holy Spirit within our bodies for the sake of showing people God's very image, His likeness, His compassion and love and forgiveness towards us. We have to comprehend that, because we can jump into the world real quick and get on this bandwagon. But man, if we're born again and we're standing for this word, it's a whole lot bigger than just one little point. All this comes down to one main purpose, that God loves all who He has created. He wants no one to perish. He wants all of us to repent. And so we have to realize that these bodies of ours are temples carrying the Holy Spirit. We have been blessed by God just to have the opportunity to do this amazing, amazing thing. So what happens? Now let's let Scripture talk here and get ahead of myself. Dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you, this is Paul speaking to those who have come to the faith, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all He has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind that He will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship Him. So if we've been given these bodies, we're supposed to basically worship God with our bodies, which is mean you take what you have and as you live life, you're trying to give it back to God. So how, you might say, okay, man, how do you worship God with your body? It's really walking in obedience to God. And so, I've had a lot of questions asked to me when it comes to like overweight, tattoos, hair a different way. Does God, you know, if I'm a overweight, or does God think less of me? If I've marked myself, does God think less of me? If I have pink hair, does God think less of me? God is concerned about your heart. If you look in old covenant laws, you weren't supposed to cover your head. You had your hair grown to a certain length. You weren't supposed to mark your bodies. The new covenant just talked about love and grace through Jesus Christ. So He's concerned about your heart. So don't get too set off of, if I don't look a certain way, it has nothing to do. What's going on in here? And how are you transferring the love of Jesus from your heart out to people? That's what's truly important. But there are things that we need to be warned about. And right here, it's amazing through the Bible how hard it hits sexual sin and what you do with your body. Run from sexual sin, and this is why. No other sin so clearly affects the body as this one does. That's probably why it's talked about so openly. For sexual immorality is a sin against your own body. Now, let's back up and think, okay, so what does this mean? Everybody with me? Sexual sin or immorality is a sin against your own body. This body was created for what purpose? To serve God, but to show His image. What does His image show people? It shows them the grace and love of Jesus Christ. So, does sin have a part in that? No, see, sin is a separation from God. So if we do anything that allows sin to come in, that image is now being marred. See, when Adam and Eve partook of that apple, that image was marred. It had to be, through the grace of Jesus Christ, it had to be brought back. So Jesus did that for us. So if we understand the depths of this, this is extremely important. Sexual immorality is a sin against your own body. So what is sexual immorality? I know the popular thing is to talk about, oh, homosexuality is just wrong because it's God, the Bible says so. Sexual immorality is doing anything against the Word of God when it deals to a sexual emotion. You know what it says about your vision? Don't even look upon anyone with lust. If so, you've already committed adultery with that person. So sexual immorality goes so much deeper. We like to pinpoint. And it is true. I don't think, well, I know that sexual immorality will not enter the gates of heaven. So when I talk to people that I know and love that practice that, I just look at them and say, it's not God's best for you. And that's difficult when you talk to people who are just in this relationship totally out of love. If you're a man and woman and you're sleeping together, That's sexual immorality. That is not God's best for you. That does not allow God's image to shine through you. That almost mars your purpose of being created to show God or show people who God is. But we want to dumb everything down. Oh, it's just a good way to kind of try out the relationship. Do you have any idea the spiritual connotations of what Satan is trying to do to you when you take part sexually with someone else? Because God's word says what? You become one with someone who sometimes you have no intentions of being one with. You see, that's damaging. It's not all about this message. You may think, oh man, you're going to hurt so many feelings, but it's the opposite. This message is designed to show people how to be so close to God and how to take that relationship and show this world, man, this, you want love and joy, you want acceptance, you want grace, this is what it looks like. The world is telling you the opposite. Do every sin that you want to do, do what feels right, and then you'll be happy. And people have not found happiness in that. They found that season, but then that season flees. And there before them is their actions. And then Satan has this amazing way of tempting you to sin and then trying to hold you accountable for it to let you know that you screwed up big. Don't you dare open your mouth about this Christianity stuff because you're such a hypocrite. He is the master deceiver. And so we are warned about sexual sin within our lives. Listen to this. Romans 8:5. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. So, as Pastor Chad had said, one thing has a lot to do with the other. What is our mind set on? What are we desiring? And that has a lot to do with how we're treating our bodies. So, if you're desiring the things of the Spirit, there's things that you're going to do to be close to God. You're going to be in His Word. You're going to be sharing His Word. You're going to be thinking of different ways just to better yourself based on what God's truth is sharing with you. If it's about the flesh, and trust me, Christians can live about the flesh, then it's about, well, but what do I look like? How does this? You know, I could exercise and I could work out and I could lift to my heart's content. I could eat everything that's right. I could be so consumed by a physical appearance, that who am I living for now? Kind of for me and how I appear, how I come off. So you can even do things physically to the good, but if your mindset isn't on the Spirit, then it's on the flesh, that's going to have a negative connotation. God desires our mind beyond the Spirit, so that this image isn't flawed, so what people are seeing through us is actually the image of God and not the image of fallen man. And so what does that look like? Name some areas physically where we struggle. Anybody? I just said sexual. That's an obvious struggle. I have a list, but I'm curious if it matches up with yours. Some physical areas where you're saying, I just flat struggle in this area. No struggles. This is amazing. Let me get you started. Rest. Who's busy? Who's tired? You know what God did after 6 days of working? He rested an entire day. This is God. We need rest. Our bodies get ran down. And we get ran down. Sometimes that affects our minds. Our minds is part of our bodies, and we make some bad decisions. We need to rest. You need to give your body rest. You need to give yourself the time. I say that as I just explained to you what my last week was like, and I'm realizing, even in trying to do something good, that I'm going to have to rest more. My wife had this, you know, when you ride with your wife in a car, we went to Chicago to see my daughter on her birthday. We left Friday, came back Saturday, so it was about a 20-hour trip. That's 10 hours in a car. 12 because I missed a turnoff, but that's my fault. I tried to blame it on her, but she was reading a book. I said, you should be paying attention to me, not reading a book. But anyway, that's a total other option. I make mistakes. She knows that when I drive. 10 hours in a car, and on the way back, I had taken care of some business while I was there. It's business I set up, some phone calls I wanted to make. And she said, you know, we're leaving, because we're leaving again today for St. Louis. We're going to go to a pastor's retreat in St. Louis, and then we're flying to California to see your sister. And she said, you need to learn how to rest. And I'm doing just fine. You know, I slept last night for like 6 hours. That was great. We're good. But then I listen to her. You can get so busy, and you can justify your busyness. Yeah, but work needs this. And that side job needs this. And so-and-so called and they needed that. And man, the church, you know everything that we're doing there. And so you can get so busy with almost righteous ideas and things that you're doing that you don't rest your mind, you don't rest your body. And you're not whole and you're not complete. And you begin to make these poor decisions that could affect this image. So rest is so important. Good job. Name another one. Nutrition. I have on here over or under eating. Nutrition, taking care of yourself physically. Sometimes when the word indulgence came into my mind, if you look at anything from eating, drinking, I mean, the Bible talks about alcohol through do not drink to be drunk. It talks about gluttony. There's a verse, it was interesting. Let's see. I wrote it down, so it means I won't be able to find it now that I'm up here. A drunkard and a glutton will come to poverty, and slumber will clothe them with rags. Basically, when you rely a couple things can happen. When you rely on something else to get you through, I know several people who struggle with alcohol, and they're not partiers. They're dealing with life, and they do it with alcohol. They pull down their senses, their anxieties. Eating is the same way. I know people who eat way too much is just a way to deal with a problem, or don't eat enough because of an image that they're trying to create within themselves. In all those situations, we're focusing on trying to handle something ourselves instead of allowing God and His Word to direct us. And so when we allow God to direct us, we're being funneled and geared towards the very person who created us and created this image within us that needs to be lived out. When we begin to self-medicate or allow our indulgence to go in what we think we need, now we're subject to sin and we're subject to Satan. And that pulls us away from God's original plan for us. And so, yes, eating, working. Anyone overwork? Can. Lorna, Gary, you're supposed to raise your hand too. Jerry, yeah. And you know, and even then I find myself coming up with excuses. I drive off of like small successes. God created within me a mechanical mind. And so I love seeing things that are broken get fixed. When people say, they'll ask me, hey, how'd your day go? Oh man, I worked on this machine for like 7 hours. They're like, oh, that must have been a horrible day. I'm like, no, we fixed it. Man, we just pinpointed, we started this, we worked all the way through, and it was like almost exhilarating and knowing that you troubleshot and you just kept finding, no, it's not this, oh, it's school districts. Ooh, this, now we're getting close. And now I like that process because you begin to, at the end of the day, you're like, I made something better. But that also needs to be pulled back and put into perspective. To where if I feed off of accomplishment, what's that mean? There's a very high chance that I'm going to try and do too much, which is going to pull me away from other things that are important. So we have to take a break, set a schedule for ourselves, get someone who loves us and cares for us, and actually work those things for the good. I can still do what God's desired me to do, but it doesn't have to I don't have to find overindulgence in this. Because if I find too much satisfaction in that, then I'm walking away from God's desire and just trying to satisfy me, myself. overworking, over drinking, lack of rest, overeating. Sometimes we hunger and thirst for these things. There's a, let's see, we read Romans 12:1. Romans 12:2 tells us not to conform to the world. Well, how do you, conforming to the world basically is you're in the world, they are your influence, and so you begin to act in the way that they act. So how do you not conform to the world? Anybody? You have to be, are you reading scripture? The scripture goes on, you have to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And it's through that power of Jesus Christ. This verse here, listen to this. Very short, it's a beatitude in Matthew 5. Very powerful to what we're talking about. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. See, if we hunger and thirst for the world, look at the way that you're treating your bodies as you do that. Just the things that we all named. I want to look a certain way, act a certain way. I want to deaden the pain. I want to fill this personal desire to success that I have within me. So next thing you know, we're overeating, undereating, overdrinking, overworking, we're lacking in rest. And so we're in this rat race. When right here it says, you will be blessed, not when you hunger and thirst for what the world has, but when you hunger and thirst for righteousness. And that broken down is rightness. And rightness broken down is the word. This is the one true infallible word. This is right. It directs you rightly in every direction. So you will be blessed when that thirst and hunger for righteousness happens through God, through His word. So anything, listen to me, anything that you are doing now in your life, you can say, I guarantee you the word doesn't tell me to do that. That is trying, Satan is trying to pull you and tarnish your image. So think to yourselves, what corrections could I make physically to my body, to my actions, that would not tarnish that image, that would allow God's image to be seen through me? Because this is a temple of God. I am not my own. God has knitted me together, spent so much delicate time on you individually, so that your life could be spent mirroring His image to people. Satan wants to tarnish it. God wants it to be seen. So let's ask ourselves the questions. Anybody need a reboot? Just this little bit I've been talking to you. Anybody putting your feet into the ground saying, I'm not moving a bit, Pastor. Stop telling me what to do. I bet there's both. We have the ability to carry God's image in these temples as representatives of God. And so when it comes to physical health, I didn't talk about jumping jacks or sit-ups, did I? These are not our own. We have been given a gift. And God has given you that gift to serve a purpose. So I believe the most physical, healthy thing we can do with our bodies is to serve God with it and to take a look at what is it that maybe I'm not doing well. Where might we need a reboot as it relates to honoring God with our physical bodies? That's something that you each individually have to think and talk about. Well, I want to ask you this. The most important thing to realizing who you are has to do with coming under the authority of God. So as I look out at every one of you, I do it this way, it makes some feel uncomfortable, but I think it's important for us to know. I want to ask one question. Who out there right now says, I'm not even bringing my life under the authority of God, but I want to? You realize now more than ever how you're created, why you're created, whose image you were created in, and what God's desire is for your heart. So if you're out there and you're like, man, I simply want to ask Jesus into my heart. I want to know that he's there. I want to know that I have a relationship with him. I want to know that now I have something to do. I need to take his image and live it. If that's you, and you're saying, I just want to make that commitment. Maybe you've made it before and you've walked away. Maybe you've never made it before. But if that's you, would you just look right at me and put your arms straight in the air? And I just want to praise God with you that you've made that decision. Anybody that says, I would like to ask Jesus Christ into my heart. Anybody. I see that. Anybody else? I'm feeling that there is, so I'm just going to wait a second. You have to make this decision on your own. I see that hand. God bless you. Father, I pray right now for these. You know them, you love them, and you have created them for your purpose. So I pray right now that they will live this life within you, shining your image so brightly. Thank you, dear God. And now I want to ask this question. Who of you would say, okay, I understand this word, I understand my purpose, I understand the image I'm supposed to be portraying. I need to reboot, and I realize that. I just want to see your hands for the sake of your saying, God, I'm serious about this. Who says there's some changes that I need to make in my walk? I appreciate that. So let's close in prayer. Father, it's one thing to speak a message, to receive a message, but we all know it's another thing to act on that message. So you are giving us a message today on how we are to treat our bodies and the purpose as to why you have called us to live out your image in a healthy manner, to show people that this is who you go to when things are good, bad, and indifferent. This is my Savior. This is who made my eternity possible. So I pray for each and every individual in here. I pray for everyone listening, everyone who might even view this message in a year's time. May the power of the Holy Spirit be on you. May it open your eyes to your life, the position you've been placed in, and how you are treating your bodies. God, may we treat this like it is a temple of the Lord filled with the Holy Spirit that I do not own, that we were bought by the price of the life of Jesus Christ. And so God, may we return these bodies to you, purified and full of the love and grace of Jesus Christ. May we not defile them in living for ourselves and conforming to the world. Open our eyes up. And I pray for every hand that was raised or every heart that wanted their hand to be raised, that we will now take action in and of ourselves, where we make the necessary changes that will walk our lives alongside of the Word instead of the world. Thank you for the opportunity just to be a part of this Word, for the opportunity to go out and be a light in a place of darkness. God, there's nothing more beautiful than a life that comes to you. So I thank you for these who today have said, I want to serve Jesus with my life. Bless them and walk with them. We pray all this in your name, Lord God, in your name alone. Amen.